And now, in colour, Tim Fur, Tim DeYoung, Michael Rutger and William Van Dyke.
Would all cadets now assemble in the training area?
Okay, this week is a bit special. We're about to find out if we have got the right stuff.
Yeah, we're here with 200 other hopefuls in the Nevada desert embarking on the merciless selection procedure to become NASA astronauts.
Okay, you guys, everyone in a long line. This is where the selection process begins. Hands up, everyone who wants to be an astronaut. Right, you four.
Brilliant. Yes. I thought it would be rather more merciless than that. I have to say.
Brilliant. We're astronauts.
Come on. We can't be. The other 200 candidates are army commandos with strings of special achievement awards. I've only got my 50 metres backstroke.
And you cheated with that.
I didn't.
Your dad held you up halfway across.
He did not.
And you were 17
at the time. Look sharp, right? Look, where have we got to go to?
This is NASA. Astronauts only. This is an astronauts only zone. Any unauthorized non-astronaut personnel will be stopped and asked if they are astronauts. And if they are not astronauts, then they... Oh, I think I've made myself clear.
Okay, you boys, over here. Come into the briefing room. Okay, right now, boys. I'm going to take you through a simulation of what it's actually going to be like out there in space. You ready?
I suppose so.
Okay. Ooh, spooky. Well, you came through that pretty well. You can handle the scariness. Now, the other major problem is the loneliness. So I'm going to leave you on your own for a couple of weeks now.
Good. Well, he's not completely bonkers then.
This is NASA. You may remember a moment ago I described this as an astronaut-only zone. It appears, however, that some non-astronauts are admissible to some areas at certain times, provided they... Oh, just go eat a light.
This week's Book at Bedtime is Solzhenitsyn's classic panorama of war, August 1914. The reader is Peter O'Sullivan, the BBC racing commentator.
They left the village on a clear morning at dawn. In the early sunlight, the whole of the Caucasus range could be seen brightly white with deep blue hollows, apparently so close at hand that a stranger to the region might have thought it a mere 2 hours' drive away. A tide so vast above pretty human creation, so elemental in the man-made world, and even for the men who have lived in the past and in opening ones, once they couldn't get anything great or intended great, and both having massive eats, they could never remember as fantastic. Out of the Caucasus.
And for the latest developments in the spy satellite case, we go over to Ian Barry in Cheltenham. Ian, have the police made a statement yet?
Yes, a spokesman from Scotland Yard said, "I think you've got the wrong person. I'm not the police spokesman. He left some time ago."
Right. And the Home Secretary?
Well, no official statement yet, Roger, but sources close to the Minister have said, and I quote, "No, we are a firm of insurance brokers." And then in a statement issued sometime later, "Hello, is that security? He's still here in the lobby."
Oh, right, okay, well, thanks, Ian.
And earlier, I spoke on the phone to a high-ranking official at the Ministry of Defence.
Minister, can you tell us how much is known about the satellite threat?
At the third stroke, the time will be 11:00 precisely.
And now in colour, we go over to Anfield for tonight's match. Beardsley passes the ball to Howden. It's all gone dark. Oh no, now I can see again. Hanson kicks it back and... Oh, it's all gone dark again. No, here we go, and now it's pulled back to Barnes. Oh. This match, of course, brought to you live by the National Lighthouse Association.
NASA, Astronaut Training Stage 2, the module simulation.
Okay, Tim, how's it going?
Oh, not bad. I'm in the galaxy of Quav Thagar with 3 proton plasto packs in hand and a wingback defence shield.
Okay, are you sure this isn't just a game of Space Invaders?
No, it's all part of the training. Look at the Hall of Fame. Buzz Aldrin, 90,000 points. Neil Armstrong, 88,000 points. Keith Chegwin, 120,000 points.
Keith Chegwin?
Oh, yeah, I think that was just John Glenn messing about.
Where's William gone?
Here. I'm in the computerized command capsule test.
You are in a module leaving the Earth's atmosphere. Do you A, reset the gauge, or B, empty the valves?
B. Yes!
You are on the moon. Zero gravity is established. When you notice your fellow astronaut has a small piece of salad between his front teeth, do you A, tell him, or B, say nothing and hopes he sees himself in the mirror soon?
B.
Would you, really?
All right.
Computer rating, 27.
Here's the chart, 21 to 30. You have landed successfully on the moon, but should take more time to get to know your fellow astronauts. Perhaps a small cheese and wine evening might help break the ice.
Here we are. The computer fitness assessments have come back.
Oh, brilliant. What do they say? Go on.
William Van Dyke, fit A1. Tim de Jong, fit A1. Mike Rutger, A1. Tim Firth. I don't know what this means, but it's printed out a picture of a fat pig with its head in a bucket.
And now in colour, the ordinary dog crafts.
At 2:30, it's sniffing other dogs' bottoms. 3:00, sniffing other dogs' bottoms. 3:30, it's making a serious sexual advance towards a dog roughly the size of your left paw. 4:00, it's barking just because everyone else is barking. 5:00, it's doing something disgusting. And 5:30, inviting all your mates round to sniff it.
Oh dear. Well, later on we'll be going over to Olympia for the Ordinary Hamster of the Year show, where the events include refusing to run round the wheel, making a foul smell, and dying. All within 3 minutes of purchase.
And now in colour, the eighth wonder of the world.
I wonder what plainclothes policemen wear off duty.
I promised myself this time would be different, and all through the meal I didn't even dare. Then someone mentioned they'd been to a party, and a newsreader from border television was there. And then suddenly, the sirens sound, the flags go up, and the gauntlet's down. I try to keep it inside of me, but the words break free. My dad went to school with Patrick Moa, the bloke out of Target, and what's my line as well? Because everyone knows someone who's famous. Everyone's got some pathetic little anecdote to tell. My uncle's cousin has a villa in Mallorca, next to Tony Arthur, out of play school. And once on holiday, I ended up French kissing with a girl who, it turned out, knew Nerys Hughes. Just like the Rat Pack in LA, all the beautiful people end up congregating round one another. Just like the man from Martin Dolls who came to mend off television sets turned out to be the drummer on the Guys and Dolls tour of British Columbia. Brother. Back at the party, there's that same old downward spiral of claims to fame plummeting through the air. Down past Fred Dynage, a meeting Rod from Brookside, to stay in a guest house when the Wurzels were there. And suddenly, I can see a smiling face with blonde hair and blue eyes, and she's calling Tim. Tim, remember me? Tell them about me. Yes, I shared a trampoline with Leslie Judd one Sunday morning at a gym displaying crew. And everyone goes quiet because now that makes me the someone they know who knows someone who is famous. And everyone knows someone who's famous, because for that moment, that one single moment, it makes them famous too.
Launch simulation commencing for group 6.
Hey, that's us. That's our group. Quick, we have to get in.
Launch simulation countdown. 3, 2, 1.
Right. Simulation procedure number 1. Check gauges.
Check.
Check airspace.
Check.
Okay, if there are no other spacecraft coming, indicate and pull out.
God, they've really done this simulation properly. Look, they put the food in and everything.
What?
Brilliant.
Launch.
Here's your sim.
Breakfast egg substitute tablets, lunch meat substitute tablets, dinner fish substitute tablets.
Ah, first thing, here's your box. Breakfast, 3 huge bowls of Cocoa Pops with 1/2 inch of sugar substitute tablets. Lunch, a quick pie and pint down the local, oh, go on, I'll have a lasagna as well, substitute tablets. And for the evening...
No, oh, can you go and get help, Furphy? Tim's taking a substitute tablet.
A what substitute tablet?
No, a substitute tablet. It's turned him into a substitute.
God, hope I get a game this week. Better have some bowl roll.
Lads, you know when you're at home and you open the door from the living room, say, into the hall?
Yes.
Normally, does all the oxygen get sucked out in a huge vortex?
No.
No, mine neither. I think we're in space.
And now, in colour, we are proud to present a hitherto undiscovered part of the Canterbury Tales by Geoffrey Chaucer. Chaucer's The Lad's Tale. First, The Lad's Prologue.
Here, everyone, now unto this ye listen. On a verite, thy'll love this end. Tis a most funny. It's, shut up, now, serious now. Shut up of a sin, no, they all love this,
The Tale.
When October's orb was still but young, and I had already pinters 20 sunken, a maiden fair, pure and lovely, was a-begging me. It's trow, I tell, it was an skilful laugh. She was a-gagging for it, as sure as a-sitting upon this donkey. That was a...
And now in colour, The Lad's Friend's Tale.
He never did any of that.
And you join us here at Brands Hatch for the 1991 British Grand Prix, sponsored by Scale Electric. Terry.
That's right, Rog. Nigel Mansell in pole position in the McLaren. Oh, and they're away.
Yes, Mansell's team are pressing down incredibly hard on the 18-foot plastic hand throttle, and he's off like the clappers. Followed by Prost in the Ferrari, Senna in the Millie Cooper rally car, Derek Warwick on the motorbike, and Keke Rosberg in the articulated lorry horn.
Well, you have to remember, Rosberg does have the real lights that come on.
And they're approaching the Banks Bend, propped up with a 60-foot high Adidas trainer. And Mansell's team are making him take this far too fast. He's taking this far, and he's gone off the... And Nigel Mansell is under the settee. Nigel Mansell is under the settee. And that's a terrible thing to happen at this point in his career, Terry.
Yeah, that's right, because we know he has to face the prospect of being under there for a good few months now. Completely alone, just him, his thoughts, and...
Senna's also under the settee! And it looks like Brabham's have a driver change. Yes, yes, there it is, we can see now. Nelson Piquet, rumoured to be unhappy with the Brabham's team, has been chucked down the bog and replaced by a huge Lego man with no arms.
Yes, and they're all up against it now. The large blue transformer in the corner is starting to smell faintly of burning electric.
Having difficulty seeing past the Batman transfer on his windscreen.
Down along the final straight, they thunder towards the finishing line, which is unfortunately too far away for us to see because they ran out of curvy sections needed to get the track back to the beginning.
But I think we can surmise the result. It's Fittipaldi first, Warwick second, Mansell under the settee, and Prost down the bog.
Right. Who pressed the button? Who launched this rocket into space?
No one.
Somewhere there was a big button with launch written on it, and someone must have pressed it. Now who?
Ah.
Percy?
Oh, I thought it said lunch. Some ham rolls to come out.
Well, 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 we're marooned in space.
Oh, my life, my youth, my index-linked high-yield interest account. Surely we can change the coordinates.
No, they'll be controlled by a central computer.
Well, let's override the computer then. Tim, get the manual.
It's here.
Right. The computer override switch is on the right of the dashboard next to... Oh, hold on. This is the manual for the 360GL space shuttle. I think ours is just the 360GL hatchback.
Right, I'm going to find our computer and I'm going to smash it to bits. Where is it? Right, in here. Okay, computer, cut this. One, two, three.
I wouldn't do that if I were you, Percy.
Who said that?
Computer, put that hammer down, Percy.
No, I'm going to smash it to pieces.
Well, before you do, remember that Christmas Eve eating scones at your grand's house by the canal?
How did you know about that?
It's reading your mind for your fondest memory to weaken you. Don't give in.
And William Van Dyke. Remember the 5th birthday party where you all watched Mary Poppins and you tried to get Vicky Mather to kiss you by pretending Dick Van Dyke was your dad?
Look, we've got to outwit it. How? Stand back. And you, K100Q, remember those early programming days with Professor Sawson in the NASA laboratory?
Professor Sawson? Now that takes me back.
Yeah, brilliant, Mike, brilliant.
Do you know what he used to say to me? He used to say, K100, I can't get you to work, you stupid tin bugger.
Oh.
He hated me. He really did. He thought I was nothing. Dirt.
Nothing. Absolutely.
Well done, Mike. Totally good.
I just know.
Forget it. Look, I'll sweet talk
you. No!
Look, K100, mate. Tell you what. Why don't you take us all back to my place in Warrington and we'll all go for a few jars in the dog and paunch?
I can't. We're locked on course to Neptune.
Neptune?
Your government chose you to be fired off into the unknown and colonize a new planet.
Oh, really? Well, that's a great honor. And why did they choose us?
They wanted the 4 most expendable people on Earth. I'm sorry, boys. It was either you or Marillion.
And now in colour, thoughts of a cocktail pianist.
We're doing G, yeah?
Okay, mate.
Oh, God, this is boring. Plinky, plinky, plinky. He's just making those words up as he goes along. Still, at least I get this little solo bit. And back to plinky, plinky, plinky. Might as well be a chimney. Still, here comes this bit again. It's brilliant.
I don't know why it's gonna be.
Bastard! I can't believe he did that. I cannot believe he did that. Right, Sonny boy, 2 can play at that game. You think I'm going to stop the solo here? Well, I'm not. I'm carrying on. I'm going to play up here. And I'm going to play down here. Really? Let's see you fit the words in now. Oh no, he started scat singing. Oh, don't do that. I hate that. I hate that. Oi! 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 Oh, he stopped. Thank goodness for that. Well, I suppose there's no more irritating thing you could possibly do now. Oh no. Oh no. Except, I suppose, possibly. Right. That's it. I'm going to have to kill him. Oh, look, how do you get rid of a jazz singer? Oh, yeah, I know.
Last orders, please, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it looks like old Father Time's caught up with us, ladies and gentlemen. So until the same time next week, stay lucky now.
June 2nd. Absolutely nothing happened today. June 3rd. Nothing happened today again.
No way did anything happen. June 4th. Nothing again today.
That was Diary of a South African Policeman.
Look. We're in a spaceship, right? Heading for Neptune, yes? 600 light years from Earth, okay? Okay, right.
Oh, God, look, girl, come on, we must be strong, Verthy.
Well, you know what they say, when the going gets tough, Verthy gets a taxi.
Right, look, lads, as group leader, I must ask you to harden your hearts. From now on, we must never, never, ever think of home ever again. Tim, take that off. Sorry, it's this new record I've got called 20 Great Nostalgic Tunes that will make you feel depressed.
Yeah, alright, just stop it, alright? Thank you.
The magic dragon.
Oh, turn it off!
Sorry.
Look, I know I may be a sullen, morose git some of the time, but I could really do without Puff the Magic Dragon right now. My dad used to coach an American football team, and that was their theme song.
Really? Did they do well?
No, not really. The only team they ever beat was the New England Pioneers. Their song was There's No One Quite Like Grandma.
Lads, we're saved! Look over there! It's an emergency information pack.
Right, smash the glass.
Right, what's in it? Let's see. A bicycle repair kit. A tube map. Oh, now this really is useful. A book called How to Survive in the Hostile Environment of Neptune.
Right, what's it say?
Please fill in.
Here at St. Andrews, fine crisp morning, Faldo just shaping up to hit his tee shot on this third short hole. Right, hit cleanly high into the air, may well land somewhere near Greg Norman's ball. Super shot by Norman there, caught it beautifully and it's bounced perfectly on the green and it's heading for the hole now. This would really be something if it went in. It's rolling for the flag and it must be going.
Oh.
Landing imminent.
Would all astronauts please note the NASA duty-free trolley will shortly be floating down the central aisle. Feel free to make a grab at our large selection of spirits, perfumes, and pointlessly extravagant watches.
This is it. We're actually landing. Quick, get the landing manual.
Got it. Right. The landing apparatus is in the boot, under the tartan rug, and unnecessarily large roadmap.
We can't go outside.
Oh, well, just press auto-land, then. Far right on the dashboard.
That's the radio cassette. Oh, this bloody manual.
Look, there's the autoland, the red one. Press the red one.
That's it. We've landed.
A new planet.
A new civilization.
a new age.
Of course, we've probably already inhaled an airborne virus which is killing us as we speak.
Oh, for God's sake, can't you stop being morbid and actually enjoy something for once in your life?
I'm not morbid.
Mike, your childhood hobby was covering yourself in goat's blood and standing in the graveyards outside weddings shouting, "It won't work, she belongs to Satan." That's morbid.
Yeah, Mike, come on. Remember what we say in Holland.
What?
Well, there's quite a lot of things, actually. Can I buy some cheese? Is that your windmill? Would you like
yeah,
to
yes, eat yes, all right. Well, let's not go through the whole lot, eh? Look, I think it's time we went outside. Computer, what's your evaluation of the atmosphere on the planet's surface?
I don't know. I haven't been out there. Hold on, I'll get my anorak.
Well, what is that? Never mind, never mind. Forget it. Look, we'll go on our own.
How do we open the door?
There's probably a code lock or something. Oh, no, there's a sticker here. Reach out of window and push down handle.
Ah.
Do not open until the train crossed out spacecraft is stationary on the platform crossed out planet.
Yeah. I have my doubts about this spacecraft.
Yeah, well, here goes.
Ooh-wee. What a dump.
Hey, look over there.
Where? My God. It's an alien.
And it's identical to us. Apart from the tentacles. And the blue colour. And the number of eyes.
Jim, it's completely different from us. Shut up. Listen, look, we ought to try and communicate. Like in Close Encounters, you know. No, 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 no. All that sort of stuff.
Right, okay, let's try. Give us my keyboard. It may be asking too much. But I'll try 5 single notes and see if he can respond. Now you'll go. Quite good, isn't he?
Can you play that?
Shut up.
You can't play a spot.
Well, you can all right.
Fear not, Earthlings. Welcome to the planet Neptune. You will find it very similar to Earth, for it has been built as an exact replica of one of your most beautiful Earth cities.
Really? Which one?
The city you call Warrington.
Why?
Warrington? Brilliant!
So perhaps you would like to follow me to our ritual civic welcome.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, I take you for a few jars down the local, whilst my colleagues put on white socks and nick the wheels off your spacecraft.
Now in Colour was written and performed by Tim Firth, Tim DeYoung, Michael Rutger and William Van Dyke. The producer was Lissa Evans.